Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. Our first guests on today's show are in town as part of the Juno Jazz and Classics. You just heard her singing Jamie Paul, and you heard his trumpet playing Leif Shires, and also Will Ransom, Artistic Director of Juno Jazz and Classics. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thank you.
It's great to be back.
It's so nice to hear you. Beautiful singing and playing, you too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Summertime.
Yeah.
Wow. Just a classic.
Yeah, super. Yeah. It's a super fun song that we do, and we do it in our live shows. That recording was a live recording with the Pan Am Symphony Orchestra that we did a couple years back up in Washington, D.C., and that was a really nice nice rendition of it. And that version's also on one of my very first albums called At Last. Yep. But this one that we'll be doing in the show tonight will be a little, we call it funkified. So it'll yep. have a little different twist to it.
When it gets funkified, what do you add to that, Leif?
It's a little less mellow on my end of things. And actually, even with the rhythm section, it's a really cool version. So in our shows, we change things up a bit, you know, add our own flavor to it. And that's actually that record right there, that's what that version of Summertime is from At Last. That started what we've been doing. That was about, 9 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
And we started with that album, and then we've kind of changed things and gone as we go. But when we do our symphony projects, we like to go back to some of those beautiful versions of Summertime and others. So,
Will, can you give us the details on tonight's show, please?
Yeah, we're so excited that they are here. They're based in Nashville, which is my hometown, so
yeah.
Having some nice memories of that.
Yeah.
They'll be performing tonight at 7:30 at the Jack. You can either go online, get tickets, or you can just show up and get tickets at the door. We do have a big crowd, but there are some tickets left, and it's going to be one of our last programs. We close out on Saturday night with our grand finale with Mark O'Connor and his band.
Awesome.
Another Nashville-based yep. guy. How about that? So come on out and get your last infusion of jazz, of great jazz for a while.
All right. Jamie and Leif, can you sort of describe – we just heard an example of your sound, but it sounds mm-hmm. like you play in some different iterations. Sort of describe mm-hmm. The kind of music you're making right now.
Well, we like to take the classics, the jazz classics, if you will, mm-hmm. and I guess, you know, said put our own little twist on it. So we do a version of the first two that we open up with are pretty standard as far
pretty
as –
straightforward.
Yeah, straightforward swing, a little Latin. But then we do – our third song of the night is called My Favorite Things, which is, you know, a classic from Sound of Music. But we – instead of the song – regularly being in 3/4, for instance, we changed it to 4/4, and we put kind of a not a moody groove to it, but it's definitely more of a oh, this is different, you know, type of thing. So you'll definitely recognize it. It's not in the least bit unrecognizable, mm-hmm. but it's really fun, just really fun. So
why is that important for you to put your own stamp on a song?
Well, gosh, all of us that have been, you know, in music, especially jazz in particular, we've played these standards 100 times, maybe 1,000 times at points. You know, we play in different clubs or whatever, and someone will say, "Hey, let's do Summertime." So we do Summertime. After a while, it just you start to lose the creativity in it. You kind of lose the ability to change it up, and so we start to change one flavor here. It's just like cooking. You know, if someone says, "Well, I would like to have pasta tonight," if I do it the same way every night, people are going to get sick and tired of the same flavor. So you kind of, what if I added this spice to it, or what if I do this? So basically, we're just chefs, and we're just cooking with different spices.
Right, but sometimes making changes comes with risks, right?
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to please everyone all the time. I mean, no. That's just a standard rule with everything anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are some songs that people are just like thrilled with, over the moon, and then, you know, people are people, so they're going to tell you what they think, and which we love. We welcome feedback, and sometimes they'll say – Yeah, you know, I wish I could have heard that one just a little true to form, you know, truer to form, yeah. Because they do like to hear what they are used to, you know. But am I Ella Fitzgerald? No. Am I Frank Sinatra? No. I'm me.
Yeah, but we don't abuse the songs.
No.
The melodies always stay the same. We are we're really true to melody, to the heart of what the song is. But really, it's just it. So it's still going to be pasta.
Yeah. Right,
but it's
right.
Gonna
at
be
the
pasta
end of the day,
with
it'll still be carbohydrates.
So, yeah. So.
Jamie, as we were listening to that rendition of "Summertime," I was just struck by, you know, the notes that you were holding and some of the inflections that you were singing, and thinking about voice as an instrument. Can you speak to that a bit? I think a lot of us, you know, think of the trumpet as something tangible, or will the piano, but the voice indeed is an instrument. Mm-hmm. How do you take care of it? How do you hold notes like that and make those inflections?
Gosh, that's an excellent question because I actually have never had a voice lesson. I tried to in college, but they wouldn't let me because I was a business major in college. So they wouldn't let me take vocal lessons from the teacher that I wanted to because she was a music professor. But anyway, so you know what I have always done since a little kid? I come from a very musical family. My mom was a music teacher. I played classical piano from when I was 5 to 14, and I taught for 4 years after that. I grew up playing the French horn from the third grade all the way through college. So number one, from playing the French horn, you definitely are able to get a lot of breath support from your diaphragm and from your, you know, breathe from your tummy. That's what you always hear, right? Mm-hmm. So just playing an instrument helps me as a vocalist to gain the breath support that I do need to hold out the long notes. But I don't know technically what is happening inside of the throat in order to mechanically make that long note come out. But what I do is visualize. And I say visualize not like I'm seeing a string of purple come out of my mouth or anything, you know. Oh, we have stories for days about color purple. But anyway, what I mean is I visualize it in my head as far as, okay, I want to hold this note out for a really long time. So I'm just going to take a really big breath and fill as much as my stomach up as possible with air. And then I'm going to pretend like the air is just shooting towards the top of my roof, the top of the roof of my mouth, and then just like staying there. And if I can catch it in the right place, again, I don't know what's happening, but if I can just catch it in that right spot and I have enough air to do it, then I can do it. So I just kind of imagine it coming out. I imagine the sound in my head, and then I just, okay, here we go. So that's not a real technical answer. I'm sorry, but
that's actually the perfect technical answer. Because yeah. as a classical piano teacher, I always tell my students, I say, if you can hear it in your head, then you're going to figure out how to do it. But it has to start here. And so many classical players, at least, start from the other way. They just start playing, and they have no conception of what they're looking for.
Right.
That's true.
And I enjoy so many other artists, I mean, men and women, doesn't matter, you know, just so many other artists that I used to listen to, you know, Ella Fitzgerald and Natalie Cole and Frank Sinatra and you know, even Sammy Davis Jr. and people like that. And I would say, how can I make my voice sound like them? And so when we record different records, you know, there's Nat King Cole, the way he says the word and. Mm-hmm. He just does this really cool, I don't know if it's called a diphthong or what he does, but he says, and, you know, and it's like you have to open your mouth just a little wide, you know. And so on every record, it doesn't matter the song. At some point, if I get to say the word and, I'll say and, you know, because that's how Nat King Cole does it, you know, on his, like, you know, Christmas Time Is Here stuff. Like, that's what he does. So, again, I'm hearing it in my head. And I think I have a James Bond record that has a Tina Turner cut on it. And oh my gosh, she is like my piece de resistance. If I ever met Tina Turner, I would probably just melt instantaneously. But while I was recording that song, I thought, I don't need to sound like Tina Turner, but how can I sound like Tina Turner? So I heard her version playing inside my head while I was singing. because she's just so iconic, I thought if I can just tone my voice a little bit to pay tribute to her on this song that she's known for, then great. So it really does. It starts in the head. You have to hear it, and you have to see what you want to come out of your mouth. You have to be able to see it in your mind.
Okay. Leif, how did the trumpet become part of your life?
Oh, gosh. Well, my uncle played trumpet, and I went to a church in – I grew up in Fresno, California, actually. And the pastor of that church was a trumpet player, a really good trumpet player. In fact, in Fresno, I was surprised. We had a lot of really great musicians, good music program. And I hear that the music program here for Juno is actually fantastic for the children.
It's amazing,
which is
for the kids.
What a blessing that you guys have something like that.
And you guys went out and did some stuff with the with the Juno Douglas High School this morning. Thank
yes, we
you
did.
That.
It was a lot of fun.
We had some kiddos come up on stage, and it was
wonderful.
Oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
They were so great. Man, they had guts. It was great, and they were good.
So I, with the trumpet, I knew I want to. That's the instrument I want to play. But it was really funny. I was a really short kid. And I guess it was in fourth grade. That's when we are able to pick up our instruments. And they ask you, what do you want to play? And I put trumpet. That's the first thing. I want to play the trumpet. And then, the next thing down was, well, if I can't play that, then I want to play the trombone, and all those. But I did not want to play anything else but the trumpet. So after they did this, they were like, okay, we have too many people who want to play trumpet. Does anyone want to play trombone? And no one was raising their hands. And I felt bad. And so I raised my hand. Mm. Like, oh, goodness, I don't want to play the trombone. But no offense for a trombone
you're a
player.
Giver. You want to help out the
I really, I felt bad. I was like, well, there's nobody else who's going to do it. So I raised my hand, and the teacher called me up there. And she said, okay, now stretch out your arm. And I did. She said, your arms are too short. So that's when it was a blessing. But that's – I started then, and I just stuck with it through – junior high and high school, and then went into college, and then from there I started working on cruise ships. And actually, it's funny, I was taking jazz lessons, do jazz studies and stuff like that, and I played lead in the jazz band and things like that, but I never was the soloist. It just did not click, because I thought like a classical player. I was trained classically, I could read the music, I could play it, even though I played commercially. I thought like a classical player, and I played, wind ensemble and orchestra and all that stuff. But it was actually getting on a cruise ship, even though I was taking jazz classes, it just couldn't click. I got on a cruise ship, and I started just – there's a place up in Skagway, Alaska called the Red Onion Saloon. And all the cruise ship musicians would get off and go play jam. They would go jam in the thing. And I decided that day, I'm going to go out there every time we're there, because it was every Tuesday we were going to be in port in Skagway. And I'm just going to go play. I don't care how bad I sound. I'm just going to go do it. And that's when I started playing jazz. So thank you, Alaska.
That's wonderful.
That is a great story. And in a way, just to start improvising. Is that what that was?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like I could always play like the jazz band music, if I was reading it. It's fine. But the improvising, playing by ear is a different story. It's a different instrument. And, I used to come here to Juno all the time when I was working on the ship. This is where one of our ports was, right here. So,
all right. If you're just tuned in, that's the voice of Leif Shires. We also have Jamie Paul in the studio and Will Ransom. They are playing tonight, 7:30, at the Juno Arts and Culture Center jazz concert. Not to be missed. Sounds like a lot of fun. Jamie, thinking about the same thing with voice, you mentioned it a little bit going back to when you were a kid. Was it your mom was a player?
Well, she wasn't. She played piano, but she was a voice teacher. Like she she taught in the schools as far as musicals were concerned and music classes to the kids. And my dad actually played trombone in the band, and he played all the way through college. And my mom played the saxophone also, I think, through high school. My grandpa, my mom's dad, would – when we were growing up, I remember this just so vividly. He would get out the guitar every time we would see him, and he would sing. He'd sit in the living room and play 5 foot two on the guitar, and he – It was so funny because for years, and I mean years, this is what my sister and I would hear. 5'2", eyes are blue, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, does anybody see my gal? And so my sister and I literally grew up thinking that the second phrase or second, you know, couple of lines of 5'2" was do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And so I guess that I got my first improvisational skills from the do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
How to scat by grandpa.
Right, exactly. Come to find out it's not do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I don't know what it is to this day, but I know it's not that. So anyway, but yeah, so I come from a very – very musical family.
And do you remember the first time that you just let loose and started singing on your own?
Yes. So a couple of stories, and they both happen in church also. When I was 13, I had discovered this, quote, black gospel style of music. And so when I was asked to sing on a Sunday morning at this little bitty teeny tiny church, and I picked out the most raucous, like, just gospel hand clapping, knee slapping song you could find. And I sang it on Sunday morning. But my very, very small town, very, very small church did not – they weren't hip to that. And so
– So it was just you.
It was just me. And so they only let me sing on Sunday night from then on. But I did the same thing. Like I loved it so much. I just picked out the most hand clapping, knee slapping gospel song ever. But right before I did that though, I was sitting in youth choir and I think I was maybe 12, maybe 13. I don't know. But we had this song and it had a solo in it and I really liked this song. I don't remember what it was, but I really liked it. I really liked this solo. And at that moment in time, you know, it's not like the music director at church just said, oh, hey, kid, you sing this. Like he had everybody sing it going down the line. So there were like four or five other females that would sing it right before me. And I thought, okay, they're all singing it the same exact way. I need to make this different. I need this solo. How can I make this different? So every time somebody would sing it, I would think of a different note to put here instead of that note that they just sang. And I would think of a different note to put there instead of that note that they just sang. And so finally, by the time it got to me, you know, I had like the same melody, but 10 different improvisational notes going on. And after I sang it, the youth choir director said, you get the solo. I said, thank you very much. You know, and so that was kind of my start of, okay, yeah, I can do this. You know, I don't have to sing what's written on the page. I can change it. So anyway, that was my start. And I've loved, you know, gospel music and jazz and blues ever since.
Leif, what should we look forward to from you tonight?
From me? Well, gosh, as you can tell, I'm like from the thing that we played earlier from Summertime, I have a warmer tone. So I was heavily influenced by Chet Baker and Chris Botti. You know, there's the warm sounds because that's always been my thing. My mentor told me, you know, find a great sound. That's what you need to go for. So I worked very tirelessly to work on a good sound, not always for what felt the best when I was playing, but what actually sounded the best. And then I worked from there. So tonight you'll hear some of these we call them some of these jazz standards, but traditional pop. Some of this is just traditional pop, you know, like going Summertime technically would go back then because that's from a musical and My Favorite Things. And we've got a couple of these songs. I'm going to do a I may even sing something tonight.
Yes. Teach him how to play dirty music.
Yes. And I'll do a couple. Yeah, I'll do a couple of some – I'll do a solo piece on there. So – but yeah, there's just – there's a lot. We like to – we love to work together. It's a real nice thing that we actually like working together. So we actually started working together before we were even officially dating – or married, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So Yeah, so that's, I guess you could say, it's just going to be a really good time.
And Jamie, what should we expect from you tonight?
Well, you can expect, I do like to sing big, you know, but there are some really intimate moments as well. And Leaf and I will joke around a lot about stuff. And, you know, there's this one. So, you know, as we said, we do traditional pop, but we also kind of throw in some music from the 60s and 70s as well and then put our own twist on it. So we do a Sonny and Cher song, you know, the I Got You Babe, the classic, yeah. Classic Sonny and Cher. But we put Killer Joe underneath it. So it's really, really fun. And Leaf and I do that as a duet. And I always make a joke afterwards. I say, yeah, Leaf usually calls that song I Got You Babes. Because of my multiple personalities.
It's a true story, actually.
So we really like to poke fun at ourselves, and we have a really good time. And we like to laugh on stage. Our band likes to laugh on stage. So we want our audience to be able to laugh with us as well.
Will, at 7:30 tonight at the Juno Arts and Culture Center, right?
That's right. Come on by.
Where should we get tickets? It's 3:30 right now.
Well, if you want to go online, you can, but probably best just come on by and pick them up at the door.
All right. We've been speaking with Will Ransom, Leaf Shires, Jamie Paul. They're playing tonight, 7:30 p.m. at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. It's been a pleasure, you three. Thank you so much. Is there anything we're missing? Anything you'd like to add?
Oh, gosh. I don't think so. I think it's just going to be a really, really fun show.
We're going to have a blast.
Yeah. Great.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.